the 8th chapter of Romans and the verses 4 and the first sentence of verse 5. Or rather, the 3rd verse of Romans 8 and verse 4 as well. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. There are 5 great things here in the amazing fullness of these 2 brief texts from God's holy and precious word. We have, first of all, the most strenuous of all tasks. For what the law could not do. What is it that the law could not do? The law could not justify the sinner or save the sinner's soul. We have here the most strenuous of all tasks, what the law could not do. We have here the most superb of all errands, God sending his own Son. God sending his own Son. We have here the most staggering of all manifestations, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. We have in this text the most strange of all objectives. Listen to it. He sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. And then when you look again, you will find in this text the most shattering of all judgments. He condemned sin in the flesh. And the final thing in the text is the most supreme of all outcomes, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled, might be filled up, might be complete, might be perfected in us. I don't promise you this afternoon to get through all these particular matters, but we will at least make the attempt. You see, I came to this house today under the thought that there would be no evening meeting so that I could preach on a little longer. And then my friend announces there is a meeting in the evening. Very dangerous thing to have me as the preacher in the afternoon if you want people back very early for an evening meeting. But I will do my best. the most strenuous of all tasks. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. All false religions put their emphasis on the deeds of man and on the works of the law. Their message is, you have to keep a code of ethics. You have to obey certain commandments. You have to conform to certain laws. And as you conform and keep and obey, you will be in a state of grace. As you do not conform, as you do not obey, as you do not keep, you will not be in that state of grace. Obey, do, work, conform, and all will be well. Disobey, don't conform. Break the code, break the commandments, and all will be lost. That proposition lies at the foundation of all false religions. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, there is a most important verse. It says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. You may attempt to justify yourself in God's sight, but by the deeds of the law, no flesh can be justified in the sight of God. So you can have your so-called Christian baptism, but it'll not justify you in the eyes of God. You can have your so-called church membership, but it will not justify you in the eyes of God. You may partake of the elements of the Lord's table, but that will not justify you before God. You may be diligent in offering up prayer, but that will not justify you in the sight of God. You may be most diligent in working. Thou knowest the commandments. You might say with the young man, I have kept them from my youth. But Jesus says, one thing thou lackest. No religious observances. No spiritual exercises, no connections with church ordinances and sacraments. The law of God itself cannot justify the sinner. By the law is a knowledge of sin, but by the law there is no salvation from sin. So here is the most strenuous of all tasks. The law is weak. Wherein is the law weak? Well, the law is strong to set before us the straight and narrow path. It tells us what we ought to do. It tells us what we ought to say. It tells us what we ought to be. But it's weak, for it can't give us the power to be what we ought to be, to say what we ought to say, and to do what we ought to do. The law shows up our stains, stains of commission, the sins we commit. sins of omission, the sins that the law deeds that we should do and don't do. It shows them up. But the law is weak. It cannot erase one sin from the human soul. The law brings in an indictment against us. It points the finger at us. It says, you have broken God's commandment. You are guilty. Oh yes, it's strong to indict. But the law is weak. It cannot atone for one human soul. The law is weak because it cannot give even a tiny inclination to the soul to seek after God and to obey His holy word. The word is weak because it cannot give the power to keep the least of God's commandments. The law is weak. It can offer no remedy whatsoever to remove our sin. The most strenuous of all tasks. What does it say? For what the law could not do. False religion, as I have said, is based on the proposition of what the law can do. But God says what the law can't do, it cannot save your soul. Flee from any false religious hopes that are today. Put not your trust in churches, in priests, in pastors, in preachers, or in prelates. Put your trust only in Jesus Christ, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Secondly, the most superb of all errands, God sending His own Son. What a statement is this? That God sent His very own Son for your salvation. What the law of God couldn't do, the Son of God can do. The burden that the law of God couldn't carry, the Son of God can carry that burden. The atonement that the law of God couldn't accomplish, the Son of God can accomplish that atonement. The work that the law of God found too strenuous to do, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was able to do. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. What wondrous thing is this? What a superb errand was this? What a long journey lay between the ivory palaces and the cross of shame. What a chasm God's Son bridged when He bridged the gulf between a thrice holy God and sinful man. What a way of escape He erected from the jaws of hell to the joys of heaven. Oh, my friend, today this was the most superb errand that was ever taken on. God sending His own Son. His love to man so sorely tried was proved stronger than the grave. The very spear which pierced His side drew forth the blood to see. Here is love indeed. The fact of Bethlehem God sending his own son. The fact of Calvary, God giving his own son. The fact of the tomb, God raising his own son. The fact of the ascension, God calling his own son to his right hand. And the fact of glory, for the son to sit and reign and bring salvation to every soul that puts his or her trust in him. The most superb of all errands, God sent his own son. His own son, not someone else's son, but his own, co-equal, co-eternal, well-beloved, holy, harmless, undefiled son. He sent him for you and for me. Make the contrast between the law of God and what it couldn't do, and the Son of God and what he did do, and bless God what he can do. Thirdly, it was the most staggering of all manifestation. Read it carefully. He sent his own son in sinful flesh. He did nothing of the kind. There is not one stain. There is not one pinhead of sin or spot upon the blessed Son of God. He did not send him in sinful flesh. Jesus Christ's flesh was spotless and harmless and crimeless and sinless. He sent him in the likeness of sinful flesh. What does that mean? That means that Jesus Christ was able in that sinless body to bear the effects of sin, but not have upon himself any sin. What's one of the effects of sin? Death is one of the effects of sin. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for it all have sinned, but Jesus never sinned. Why did he die? Because he was made in the likeness of sinful flesh to suffer the effects of our sin, but not to ever be stained by it. The likeness of sinful flesh. He was angry, but he sinned not. He was sad, the effects of sin. He was weary, the effects of sin. He was disappointed, the effects of sin. He was heavy in his heart, the effects of sin. He was sorrowful, the effects of sin. He wept, the effects of sin. He died, the effects of sin. But he himself was sin. He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Here is a great text. Listen to it. We have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Listen, today he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. There's not a road that any man traveled that Jesus didn't travel the same road. There's not a cross that human nature has to bear that Jesus didn't carry. There's not a dark experience in the human soul that Jesus didn't taste of. He tasted death for every man. Oh, my friend, Jesus Christ is not afar off. Church of Rome paints the Son of God as a far-off Savior, needing the intermediary of Mary in order to reach him, to intercede for him, in order that we might be saved. Such is not the teaching of the Holy Book of God. Jesus Christ is the only and sole mediator between God and man. And he comes to where we are. He's not afar off today. He's not a distant Savior. He's the ever-present Savior. He's just a prayer away. You'll find him in the shadows today. He understands the deepest heartbreak of the human breast. And thank God he's here to see him to the very uttermost. All that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us, the likeness of sinful flesh. Come to him today, sinner. He shows you his wounded hands, his nailed, pierced hands, his bleeding hands. He shows you his wounded side. He shows you his precious blood. And there is no other cleansing power but that precious blood. And that's what you need today. Wash me in the blood of the Lamb, and I shall be whiter than snow. Pray that prayer today. Pray it from your heart. Fourthly, the most strange of all objectives. He came for sin. For sin. Sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. The great program of the Son of God was the sin question. It's not a political problem that's destroying our country. It's the old problem of sin. It's not some ethical argument that destroys the soul, the souls of men. It's the old problem of sin. It's as old as the fall. It's as old as the Garden of Eden. It's as old as our first parent sin. That old evil thing that's at the very root of a fallen race and is at the very root of your sin in your heart, friend. Jesus came to deal with sin. I read in the Bible, he was born of a woman, and he was made under the law. I'll never understand that. How the infinite God could robe himself in the rags of our mortality, walk upon his own creation, move among men a stranger, and men didn't recognize him. He was in the world, and the world knew him not. And the world was made by him. I never understand that, but I believe it. But let me tell you, there's something even more mighty than that. He was made sin. And when God saw his son as the sin-bearing lamb, when God saw his son as the carrier of sin, when God saw his son as the one plagued with all our sins, he had no sins of his own. If he had, he could never have saved a human soul. But he carried the sin of the world. I think we were singing at the beginning of this meeting, was it for me alone? The Savior left his glorious throne. The dazzling splendor of the sky, was it for me he came to die? Was it for me he wept and prayed, my load of sin upon him laid? That night within Gethsemane, was it for me that agony? Was it for me he bowed his head upon that cross and freely shed his precious blood, that crimson tide? Was it for me my Savior died? Happy is the man, happy is the woman who in simple faith can say it was for me. Yes, all for me. O love of God, so great, so free, O wondrous love, I'll shout and sing. He died for me, my Lord and King. That sums it up. He came for sin. Sin's not his own. He took your sins and your sorrows. He made them his very own. He carried the burden to Calvary, and he suffered and he bled and died alone. Fifthly, the most shattering of all judgments, he condemned sin in the flesh. Sin brings condemnation. Sin brings a curse. Sin brings a stain. You go to the prison and sit in the prison cell, and you will see the condemnation that sin brings. You go to the brothel and there see the scarlet sin in all its hideousness, heinousness, and hellishness, and you'll see that there's condemnation and curse with sin. You go to the gin palace and the liquor shop and the drinking lounge and the public house, and you'll see the condemnation of sin, cursing men's minds, cursing men's bodies, and damning men's souls, a bar to heaven and a door to hell. Ever named it well. You'll see the curse there. Go to the dance hall with its immorality and its lewdness and lust, and you'll see the curse and condemnation of hell. Go to the barriers of eternity. Draw aside the curtain that separates time from eternity. Put your ear today to the doors of hell, and down in the caverns of the damned, where damned souls burn in God's everlasting wrath and fire. And you'll know all about the condemnation of sin. Will you? No, you'll not. I'll tell you where you'll learn what God's condemnation of sin is. Go to Calvary. Stand under the shadow of the old cross. Hear the cries of the naked Son of God as he dies. Hear the pangs of the Son of God and the death throes of that accursed tree. See the heavens darken. See the great rocks rend. See this whole earth trembling on its axis. See the mountains trembling before the wrath of God, as God punishes his Son for sinners, and Jesus takes the guilt of this world, and with one tremendous heave, he carries it away. There you learn the condemnation of sin, the most shattering of all judgments. God condemned sin in the flesh of his Son. And in his flesh was laid our sin. Finally, the most supreme of all outcomes, the righteousness of the law to be fulfilled in us. What does that word fulfill mean? It means to be filled up, to be made complete, to be made perfect. That you today may have the righteousness, the perfect righteousness of Christ. That you can stand in God's sight as if you had never sinned, never been a partaker of Adam's fall, never have committed one crime against the thrice holy God. Justified. Legally absolved from every sin. What a gospel this is. It's without money and without price. You don't pay for it, you couldn't pay for it. You don't merit it, you couldn't merit it. Jesus on that cross secured God's pardon for you. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress, midst flaming worlds and these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Bold shall I stand at that great day, for who ought to my charge shall lay. Fully absolved by these I am from guilt and fear, from sin and shame. Have you on the righteousness of Christ today? Have you on the wedding garment for the feast? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Unwashed soul, be washed today. Unclean soul, be made clean today. Unpardoned soul, receive God's pardon today. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this afternoon for the Word of God, and we pray that You'd apply it powerfully to men and women's hearts. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, that Thou wouldst write Thy Word on every heart today, that Thou wouldst press it home by the power of the Spirit of God, that Thou wouldst lay hold upon every man and woman and boy or girl, and may they ask themselves today, are they saved? Are they safe? Are they washed in the blood? Have they got the righteousness of Jesus Christ? Oh God, speak with power. Draw men away from false doctrine and error. Draw them to Calvary. Draw them to the cross. Draw them to the blood and save their precious souls for Jesus' sake. Amen.